If you believe what they tell us, you'd believe in ages and stages. And as you enter the golden years, your life is all but over. In this new podcast, we aim to dispel the fussy myths and apparent prerequisites of old age. You can hear the inverted commas. We set out to prove that age is not just a number, but more importantly, a state of mind. We walk you gently through the joy and despair of coming to terms with the golden years while upgrading ourselves to what we like to call the platinum years. With a host of guests from all walks of life, we discuss their philosophy on aging well. We aim to bring you a manifesto for living a longer, healthier, happier life, and what reaching old age signifies to each of our guests. One thing is for sure. There's never been a better time to embrace old age. We have the time, experience, knowledge, infinite wisdom, well, we hope you do, and more importantly, the cash, or so the millennials will have us believe, to live life to the fullest. So say no to age discrimination, and yes to a long and happy life. Hello there. Just to let you know that unlike the previous podcast, I'm recording this one at home. Well, yes, it is still a good moment to embrace old age. Definitely in a non-physical sense right now. It's still a good moment, even though some of the more elderly and vulnerable are particularly at risk. While all of us in the United Kingdom, and quite a lot of other countries too, are locked down, many of the elderly and vulnerable are in solitary, which isn't fun at all. My mother's in her 90s and can't get out on her own, and she simply just can't be left on her own. I do help care for her, but I want a clear 14 days before I'll feel able to visit and help her. She, like some of you perhaps, came through the war, and that's a tough breed. But even so, I live alone. But at least I can get out once a day, though I'm keeping away from shops. Actually, I'm now rather pleased. I broke four toes 2 years ago and signed up for online delivery with a particular supermarket. As I'm over 70, I know, hard to believe, and even harder for me to reveal that to you, I get priority deliveries, so it's an ill wind. As I say, I do get out. Well, I might go crazy otherwise, wouldn't you? But when out, I'm carefully doing the 2 metre gavotte whenever I pass by another person. Sometimes they do it with me. Once someone ran by looking completely scared. But of course, that could just be the way I look and have nothing to do with COVID-19. Actually, all this has made me change some of the lyrics to my song, which has the same title as this podcast and my current show. So, no longer too young to stay in, too old to go out. Instead, it's, well, let me give you a couple of verses. I shall sing them unaccompanied. I get all restless, stuck in my flat, because where I am is not where it's at. No fun to be had, no people to see. Now I'm self-isolating and stuck here with me. So that is what this song is about. Too bored to stay in, too scared to go out. I plucked up courage, went for a stroll. I armed myself with a 2 metre pole, waved it about, but it made people laugh. And then I tripped over and broke it in half. I got so stressed it brought on my gout. Too bored to stay in, too scared to go out. I'm hoping to record another conversation as soon as possible with a real person. But this time, I'm going to interview one of the cabaret characters in my show. In other words, to be blunt, I'm going to talk to myself. But I do know that I'm doing that, so can't be classified as mad. Well, not on that score anyway. Let me just explain what my show is about and why the characters are relevant to this podcast. I take a quizzical look at the challenges and opportunities for those no longer young. On the one hand, there are daunting realities and cruel setbacks. On the other, and that's part of the message in these podcasts, you can learn what's best for yourself, find ways to make things work, and have unexpected victories. I examine dating, love, work, holidays, even the gym. The show's for everyone, but it's particularly aimed at a slightly older audience. There's a lot of humour, but with a bittersweet edge. I illustrate my theme with original songs and stories by male and female characters. These include the man looking for a restful love affair, because he doesn't want to change his way of life too much, a rich designer who falls for his hunky gardener, a fading star on an endless tour, and Rosie, who you're going to hear from, so to speak. She is currently locked down just off the Italian coast. She is not a happy bunny. She was actually christened Rosalind, but likes to be called Rosie, though not entirely appropriately, not for her disposition. She's a spinster in her early 70s. She used to work as a personal assistant, as she liked to put it, to a senior partner in a firm of solicitors. She saved up enough money for the occasional luxury holiday. She has one brother and two nephews who really don't love her that much. She has some local friends in Windsor, where she lives. Where else? Her friends are mainly others in the local church, where she helps arrange flowers and disapproves of the new vicar. Not because the vicar is a woman, but because the vicar has a rather common accent. Rosie inherited her pleasant little house from her parents. She belongs to a local knitting circle. She's knitted the cardigan she's wearing today. Such a pity you can't see it. Her nephews still receive unwanted pullovers as presents. She never plays cards and hardly drinks. She's a volunteer for the National Trust and very much associates herself with the aristocratic family who still live in the stately home where she helms a room once a week or so. This is part of our phone call recorded a little bit earlier. Hello, is that Rosie? Is it all right if I call you Rosie?
Yes.
Am I right in thinking you're still on a cruise at the moment?
Oh, yes, I am, and it's a nightmare, and I thought it was going to be a dream come true.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I'd always fancied a cruise, but as a single woman, didn't really want to go on my own, so that's why I was cautiously receptive when Doreen offered to come with me. Known her for years, though we weren't really friends. I explained I was looking for a companion, someone to have meals with, to sit with in the lounge while we read or I got on with my knitting. And I stressed, I was very clear about this, that I didn't go to bed late. Well, I'll tell you exactly what she said. She said, "Oh, that could have been me talking. That's just perfect, except I don't knit." Oh, she's Scottish, you see. Well, we did laugh at that and agreed it wasn't a deal breaker.
So that was good.
Don't rush me, dear. Doreen and I met at the airport, and she was wearing nice, comfortable clothes. Well, superficially, that was quite reassuring. But I suppose the size of her suitcase should have started red lights flashing. Anyway, we arrived at Marseille and got taken to our boat. Oh, it's lovely. Very luxurious, although I did feel our cabin was a trifle cosy for two comparative strangers in an oversized suitcase. It didn't take me long to unpack, so I got out my knitting, which seemed to amuse Doreen. She needed 2/3 of the cupboard space, and our little ensuite was literally overflowing with her beauty treatments. I could see why she needed so many, but there comes a moment when you have to recognise that the battle is lost.
Right. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Well, anyway, by the time she'd finished, it was time for bed. I was awake early, as usual, so I got up. Doreen didn't wake up until I was almost ready, despite my making no effort to be quiet. So I went off to breakfast without her, which was a bad start. It was a very nice breakfast, I suppose. Oh, lovely little croissants, always a sign of a good breakfast. Anyway, just as I was on my last cup of tea, in waltzes Doreen in some sort of yellow trouser suit. Quite inappropriate, though it did match the colour she's dyed her hair. She beamed at everyone, saying hello as though she already knew them. She joined me, eventually, and when our young waiter asked if she would like tea or coffee, she said, "Surprise me," in a flirtatious manner. Well, of course, he laughed. They have to be pleasant. "Ooh," said Doreen, "I think he rather fancies me." I suppose I knew then that things wouldn't go well.
And they didn't?
No, very much didn't. She is none of my interests. She was completely bored on the excursions whenever we did them, and she certainly didn't want to go to bed early. She just wanted to be the life and soul. That very first evening, she disappeared, and I found her sitting with a really noisy group. She changed into a very injudicious dress. I'd rather leave it at that. "Cooey," she cried, "come and join us. We're having a sundowner."
"More than one," I suggested.
"Rather," she said, and everyone guffawed.
"No thanks," I said.
"Oh," said Doreen, "I see you're a teetotaler." "I am not," I replied, as pleasantly as I could, "but I know my limit." "Well, I certainly don't," shrieked Doreen, and they all roared with laughter.
"I suppose you two, well, you're not really compatible."
Oh, two people could not have been less compatible. My only moments of peace were when I went on excursions on my own. Back on the boat, I was forced to sit with her at lunch and dinner with all sorts of noisy people. Not at all my type, if you know what I mean. I would go back to the cabin and try to find peace in knitting. It didn't work. I'd go to bed, and then she would come in after midnight and wake me up, as I said, real nightmare. And then...
And then?
Lockdown. A passenger fell ill and was tested positive for coronavirus. We've been confined to our cabins for 3 days, for 72 really grim hours. I've been forced to stay with that dreadful woman, surrounded by her clothes and her makeup. She never stops talking to me, or else she's on the phone or going onto the balcony and shouting at the other passengers. In the end, it was too much. I had a headache for 53 hours. 53!
Oh, my God.
And then I cracked.
You cracked?
I cracked. We were moored outside Sorrento. She was leaning over the balcony, singing, "Take me back to Sorrento," in appalling Italian. That was bad enough, but she couldn't hit the high notes. Why do old sopranos never understand this? I couldn't help myself. She was just singing, "Don't give me such torments," and I thought, "No, don't, please don't." So I pushed her into the sea.
Rosie, that was really wicked, in the original sense of the word. What on earth happened?
She was rescued. A handsome young sailor pulled her into a boat. I saw her collapse into his arms and sing the rest of the song. I'd never seen her look happier.
Well, let's leave the conversation there, shall we? Rosie's hoping to come back to the UK in the next day or so, on one of those flights the Foreign Secretary is trying to arrange at the moment. She says she is longing for self-isolation. It's a strange thing, self-isolation. On the plus side, my creative juices are flowing, and on my careful walks, at least I see other people. As we carefully avoid each other, we often give ourselves little smiles, so there's a sort of human contact, if distant. On the other hand, of course I miss proper visits and outings with relatives and friends, but we can still speak on the phone. Now that might come as a surprise to the young, but some of us remember what a phone was originally devised for. It's really important to keep in contact with people. Even if you can't video call or you don't like to, increase your phone calls. I certainly am. And maybe remember to call people you don't speak to so much. This is a good time to re-establish contact. Or, let's do things the old-fashioned way and write a letter to anyone deemed high risk. Those who now have the worry of potentially not seeing anyone for 12 weeks. A letter will let them know you're thinking of them and will surely put a huge smile on their face.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Too Young to Stay In, Too Old to Go Out. The beauty of podcasts is that you can decide to listen while staying in or going out. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and if you did, please remember to spread the word. Keep up to date with future podcasts and events by subscribing and adding alerts to whichever platform you are listening on. I'd love to hear your thoughts and suggestions on future topics or guests, so do get in touch.